Good morning to each of you, and greetings in the name of Jesus as well. Certainly been good for us to be here, and I've been blessed and encouraged and challenged in relation to life and friendships and our desire to be a thankful people. Tomorrow is traditionally known as Thanksgiving. And while Thanksgiving is a daily experience for the child of God, I think it's also fitting to look at it this time of year again as we think about it. I always kind of hesitate a little bit because it seems like then we kind of can have the tendency to view it as a once-a-year experience when that just can't be the case if we're a child of God. It must be that daily experience. We'll be talking a little bit about that later in the message. But I'd like to begin the message this morning by with the words of a familiar song, and then I'm going to refer to a story. I had seriously considered just going around the audience and asking what you're thankful for this morning, but that probably is valuable. But I'm not planning to do that. I'd like you to think about your own heart this morning, each of us before God, and evaluate our thankfulness. And I know we say a lot of things, we sing a lot of songs about Thanksgiving and all those things, but listen to yourself. Listen to your words. Listen to your thoughts. Are we really a thankful person? What do I easily complain about? What do I easily get rattled about? What do I lose my peace over in my life? All those things are indicators of how thankful we are personally, and it's a challenge for us. You may turn in your songbooks. We're not going to sing this song right now, but number 690 in our songbook. I believe that's the number. The song is the familiar song, Now Thank We All Our God. It's an old German song, been translated into English. I'm going to read the words of this song, and I want you to follow carefully along when we read this. And I want us to picture in your mind or what I should say is, what picture do you get in your mind when you listen to these words? What is the word picture that you see and or that you hear coming from these words in the setting of this song? Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, to keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed and free us from all ills of this world and the next. In the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and Spirit blessed, who reign in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom heaven and earth adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. My impression of this song would have been related to a thankful person giving praise in writing these lyrics in a time of relative tranquility, more or less peace and calmness. Now, maybe I shouldn't have given you one of my thoughts first. I'd like to hear some of your thoughts. What word picture do you see? What do you feel coming from those lyrics? in the setting of this song. Anyone want to? Sounds pretty relaxed, doesn't it? Pretty, you know, yes, thankful, but I was surprised in studying for this message. I came across this story. The words of this song were written in 1636 by a German pastor named Martin Reinhardt. I don't know much about him. I suppose he probably was Catholic. We're not sure. But 1636 would have been right in the middle or right in the midst of the terrible 30 Years' War in Europe. And in his parish, it is said, like in many other areas of Europe at this time, there was terrible famine, starvation, disease, and plagues. There was times when the populations of some of those towns and cities, they were so hungry in starvation from the famine that they would eat grass. And even worse than that, they actually at times resorted to cannibalism to stay alive. But the disease and the plagues were terrible. It is said that in 1 year, approximately around the time this song was written in 1636, that this pastor, this German pastor that wrote the song, Martin Reinhardt, that he helped to bury and officiated over 5,000 parishioners in 1 year. That's the population of Creston, including his own wife, who also died of the disease. It was an average of 15 a day. Some days, they say, they buried between 50 and 60 people. He was the only pastor left alive to help do this and officiate at these burials. It was in the midst of this that he wrote the words of the song. Let's read it again. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills of this world in the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and Spirit blessed, who reign in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom heaven and earth adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. You think of the thankfulness of a man, a pastor going through untold, almost unfathomable to us, suffering, and seeing firsthand the suffering of his community. Thankfulness. I'd like this morning to think for a while about the power of a thankful heart. The power of a thankful heart. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'm going to read this passage. It's involves the prayer of David. It's a psalm of David. He gave to the singers, the Asaph and his brethren. And it was a psalm of thanksgiving. We're going to maybe notice a few of these verses, or come back to a few of these verses later. But just notice, we talked about David, you know, in our Sunday school lesson and his friendship with Jonathan and God taking him through the wilderness experiences there to prepare him for the kingdom and the day that he would become king. And one of the things that we notice of David is, especially in the Psalms, it stands out. You know, his relationship with God and his worship and his praise and his adoration, over and over again, he would praise the Lord. And we have that here in this passage as well. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 7, I'm going to read down to verse 36. Not necessarily make a lot of comments on this, but just follow along and you think about the thankfulness of his heart. Verse 7, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord under the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, sing ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strengths, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servants and ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God, and his judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant and the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, and his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the earth, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. You just can feel that uplifting of thanksgiving and praise to God when you think about what David there gave for Israel to sing. I'd like to think first in relation to this thought now of the power of a thankful heart, and that is the premise for a thankful heart. Where does it begin? And it is, well, something that we do concentrate on, I believe, and we do think about, and we do need to exercise ourselves in thanksgiving. At the same time, you know, what is the root of it? Where does it come from? What is the premise for it? Well, first of all, true thanksgiving will always acknowledge God as the giver of all things. You know, we can look at the creation of, or the, maybe I shouldn't call it creation, but the inventions of men, and sometimes marvel at what man has been able to accomplish. But overall, we see God as the creator, God as the one who has given man the ability and the materials to work with. In order, but you know, to see God and to acknowledge him as the giver of all things. We have nothing that we have not received from God, from the hand of God. Who does the atheist or the evolutionist thank for all the good that comes beyond the scope of their own self-sufficiency. Who do they thank? They have no one to thank. You know, and you think about that. Thanksgiving includes the deep conviction that God is good and righteous and kind to his children. And that is a premise for the thankfulness of our heart when we recognize that. And you see that in this psalm where he is calling, you know, the nation Israel here to praise the Lord and to bless him for all that he has done. You stop to think about all the goodness of God in your life, in my life personally. It's like I was reading last evening, one writer said that really we should, every time we open our eyes, we awake in the morning, we ought to thank God again for life. We're alive. We have another opportunity to serve as a Christian. And an unbeliever, what does an unbeliever do? Well, there probably should be at least some thankfulness in relation to an opportunity to repent yet, in relation to life. And you think about the meaning of life and that we're here in life, we are on probation. It is a probationary period. And the whole concept, the whole realm of life is wrapped up in the whole, you know, existential question of where did I come from, why am I here, where am I going? And with that, of course, is the reality of eternity. And to realize that we are given a section of time, a space of time, that God allots to us. We do not know exactly how long that space of time will be. But within that space of time that God has given to us, that allotment of time, we are stewards of it, and we have to give an account for it. And so there's that. You think about that in relation to the realities of life and what it means in relation to thankfulness. If we're thankful, then truly in our lives, we're going to be wanting to do all that we can to realize the potential and the opportunities that God has given to us by simply giving us life and the opportunities that come with that. You know, there's so many things that could go into that. So you think about thankfulness also then as part of worship of God. I don't think that you can truly worship, any of us can truly worship without thankfulness. It's embedded in the whole concept of worship, is the thought of thankfulness and what God has done. You think about in that song we started with, "Now thank we all our God." How could he be thankful? And think about all those blessings that he talks about there in the midst of the situation he was in. It's because his focus was on God. And it was not on all the circumstances around him. And it has to be that way in our lives as a Christian. We can, you know, blame this circumstance and blame this for happening and all this, you know, and this, I can't do this and I couldn't do that. And you know, this has happened to me and all those things. And that's all looking at circumstances. But a thankful heart takes our eyes off of those circumstances and focuses them on an almighty God, who is sovereign in the universe, over all things. And then we're blessed. You know, we just have so much to be thankful for. True thankfulness also then is based on a deep sense of unworthiness. Waking up this morning, what did you and I deserve today? I'm afraid sometimes that the whole humanistic, selfish mentality of entitlement as a part of our Western culture has rubbed off on us far more than what we admit or maybe understand. Entitlement. I'm entitled to this. What do we really deserve from God? I asked that question before. There should always be that sense of humility and unworthiness that is a part of this whole premise for a thankful heart. I am unworthy of the least of God's blessings. What did I deserve as a sinner who spurned the love of God, turned against him, sinned in his sight. What do I deserve? What do you deserve? Rejection. The wrath of God. And hell itself. Because I have sinned. You've sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. That's what we really deserve. But what did God give us instead? A plan of salvation. Before we were even born. He said, I'm going to extend forgiveness to those who respond. I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to show grace. I'm going to provide a savior. I'm going to make it possible these poor lost people can find their way back. That they don't have to suffer eternal separation from me. That's what I'm going to do for them. That whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. That's why I like what Paul talks about there. Ephesians 1, you know, all that he has done in providing salvation, the plan of salvation. And he says there, as he just keeps ramping up, as it were, you know, the provision of God in salvation and giving us, you know, the down payment, or, you know, the Holy Spirit, and he's given us mercy and grace. And then he says, even the forgiveness of sins. And it's just like, maybe we'll come to this a little later, but you think about the forgiveness of God. How a sovereign, almighty, righteous, holy God is able, through Jesus Christ, to forgive us. We don't just thank the Lord every hour of the day. I mean, you stop to think about forgiveness. And I was thinking about this, the thief on the cross. You know, who in the closing hours of his life, as it were, found forgiveness. And I know we can't imagine all this because we don't understand how it all works. But I just had to think, you know, as he slipped from time into eternity, there on the cross, do you think, or how would you rate his thankfulness for the forgiveness of Christ? When Jesus said to him, after he asked that question, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus' answer to him was, verily, verily, I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You think about, you know, from a human perspective, we say, that man almost missed heaven. He just about didn't make it in the door. But for the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ. We sing the song sometimes, there is a gate that stands ajar. We never know how close we are to eternity. We never know that. But the gate of God's mercy and grace, at this point in our life, sitting here this morning, the gate is still ajar. There's still, as far as we know, an opportunity for salvation, for repentance. When you think about thankfulness, and I had to think of the praise and the adoration, the worship that is going to well up in the courts of heaven in eternity, when all the saints have been gathered together there before the throne of God, and that vast chorus goes up. And Revelation talks some about that. You know, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Thankfulness. I just know, without knowing the details, but I'm convinced that we will understand something about thanksgiving on that side that we're having a hard time sometimes getting into our heads here. when it comes to the forgiveness, the mercy, and the grace of God in salvation. You think about, you know, two destinies, two eternities, it's one or the other. And to think about the privilege that you and I have to experience the mercy and grace of God today. I just, in thinking about of this, you know, it should just spur us on. It should just consume us, as it were, as a child of God. You know, there's nothing too much to give in living for God today when you think about that vast comparison. Are we thankful today for the forgiveness of God? 1 Peter 1, verses 4 to 9 there. He talks about whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, and then he talks about adding all these things to our lives, giving diligence to add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice this verse. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Why does God not want us to forget the cost of our salvation? Every communion service, it's a review again. Again, focused on the cost of our salvation. Yes, there's a lot of other things involved in the sharing of communion together. But part of it is, Jesus said, you should do these things. For as often as ye do this, you do show or remember the Lord's death until he come. And so it is that remembrance. He does not want us to forget the price of our salvation, the cost it was to Jesus, to Christ. And the fact that we are purchased by the precious blood of Christ. And he says, if we forget this, you know, we're not looking at this the way we ought to, then we have forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. If we lose our thankfulness for the forgiveness and grace of God in our lives, we will go into apostasy. We will lose our faith. And we will find our place with the world. So thanksgiving, you know, you think about the power of a thankful heart. It is there in relation to preserving us and preserving that faith and that relationship with God in our lives. And if we start to forget this, we will lose it. So then our level of thankfulness is a reflection of our relationship with God. And that is a little painful to think about that, but really it is. Our level of thankfulness in our lives, as it is expressed in our worship to God and in our lives as a whole, is a reflection of our relationship with God. True thankfulness is not based on what we may have or not have. And again, this runs counter to our human nature. There's a tendency to think that, you know, when we have been blessed, there's an abundant harvest. There's, you know, we have had peace and plenty in this country. There's just so many things. None of us in our congregation have gotten sick and died. You know, we haven't had, you know, 15 burials a day. You know, and you think about that, you know, and there can be this idea that we can really be thankful. But that's wrong. Because true thanksgiving is not based on what we may have or not have. Yes, we ought to thank God for the blessings. We thank God for a bountiful harvest. We thank God for all these things. But really, that's not the premise for it. Yes, we appreciate that and we thank God for that. But it means that we must be just as thankful when things have gone in reverse. And that's where the true mark of thanksgiving comes out of the life of the Christian, I believe, is under those tests. Thankfulness is also a choice we make as to how we will relate to life in general. And because it involves our relationship with God, in a thankfulness toward God and all what He gives to us, and whether our life is easy or hard, or whatever our situation is, thankfulness also in relation to worship and the acceptance of God as Creator God in His sovereignty. There's also the belief that God is good. We'll probably touch that a little bit later. So thankfulness is a choice that we make. It's whether I'm going to think about all the negatives of my life and have that self-pity and everything that's gone wrong in my life, or whether I'm going to focus on the goodness of God. It was talked about there in the devotional this morning. Brother Russell talked about some of those men of faith that went through some really difficult times, but when they came out of that, like Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And we must have that perspective as well. God isn't obligated to make our life easy. And sometimes, people feel that way. Why is God being so hard on me? God has taken almost every effective man or woman, men of faith, women of faith, through dark times. And that's where His glory shone. That's where it comes out. God is not looking to simply make our life easy. God's perspective is, I want to prepare this person for eternity. And in life here, He wants His glory to shine from our lives. And sometimes that is through difficulty and test. The power of thanksgiving in daily life. Why is a thankful heart so important and powerful? True thanksgiving is a mindset, is an attitude that affects all areas of life. Well, I believe that even a non-Christian can show thankfulness. We certainly understand that. But I think the deepest levels of thanksgiving will come from a heart that is right with God and knows God. Thankfulness is always at the core of true spiritual worship. We mentioned that. Now, more on the practical side, true thankfulness will help prevent many sins of the spirit in our lives. Just think with me over a little bit. You think about the sin of covetousness. Wanting what I have not been given, or wanting what I do not have. Covetousness, whatever it is. It can be things, it can be prestige, it can be, acceptance, or whatever it is. Wanting something that has not been given to me, not been allowed to me. And you think about that in relation to thankfulness. A thankful heart will deal with that. If I'm really thankful, I'm not going to be coveting something else, right? What about envy and jealousy? We've been looking at Saul and his jealousy and envy of David, knowing that David probably was going to be the next king of Israel and the throne was going to be taken away from him, and that Jonathan was not going to be the next king. Samuel told Saul that it's going to be taken away from you. Envy and jealousy. If Saul was really a thankful man in his relationship to Jehovah God of Israel, he would not have been consumed with envy and jealousy. And it's true in our lives as well. Again, the power of thankfulness will help us deal with those surges of envy or jealousy when we struggle with that. Or bitterness of heart. You with me probably have met people that just have, as they've gotten older in life, they sort of kept track of all the things that happened to them. And they can go back and rehearse all the negative things that, this person said this, and this person did that, and this happened to me, and then I got sick, and you just like, oh. Bitterness. A thankful heart will not be a bitter heart. Yes, things happen. Those memories aren't probably all totally erased. But those memories are not in the foreground at all. You have to stop and think for a bit about whatever happened way back there, because you don't keep track of it. We're thankful. It helps us deal with the bitterness of heart. Critical attitudes. If I'm really thankful for my brethren in the church, or you as sisters, if you're really thankful for each of the sisters in your congregation, really thankful, thank the Lord for them. Even the difficult ones that you find frustrating sometimes, thank the Lord for them. It's going to help us feel right. in relation to critical attitudes. It doesn't mean that we don't talk, don't address things that happen and that maybe need help or change. But we're not going to be critical about it. We're going to do it out of a heart of love and concern. And it's not going to be just because I don't like you and I don't understand you or I can't hardly get along with you. So thankfulness, even in human relationships, you know, and helps us to deal. Thankfulness helps us to deal with critical attitudes. Or we talked about the sense of entitlement. You know, the fact that, you know, that I'm owed something, which I believe is so rampant in society today. That's where you see, you know, some of the waves of socialism, you know, pushing forward in especially Western culture now. And you think about this, you know, that sense of entitlement, you know, that the society owes me a job, society owes me this, or society owes me that. Entitlement. Rather than thankfulness to realize that, you know, I have a responsibility and an accountability for what I have been given. Well, thankfulness also has the power to control our outlook on life. We talked about the whole idea of bitterness. You know, a negative person is not a thankful person. That's why Paul, I think, writes in to the church there at Thessalonica and says, "In everything give thanks." I like that story. It was already rehearsed this morning about Corrie Ten Boom. "In everything give thanks." I admit that I struggle with that. Because there's some situations in life that I have a really hard time being thankful. And I'm sure you do too. Does it mean that we have to say that, you know, paste a smile on our face and say everything is fine? I think it's fair to admit that we struggle. But at the same time, what is our relationship with God? What is our view of God and the goodness of God? Do you ever doubt the goodness of God? You know, circumstances beyond our control by his sovereignty that are brought into our experience. You know, and what about that? And yet the scripture says, in everything give thanks. We sure don't know why. We sure don't know what the positive outcome would be. But that's beside the point. God says, in everything give thanks. Because we believe in a sovereign God who is over all things. And therefore, nothing is happening that is not under his watchful eye. And it's because of that faith in an almighty God, a sovereign God, that we can say, I'm going to be thankful for this, even though I don't understand it. You know, I didn't choose it, but I'm going to choose to be thankful anyway because I believe that God, the sovereign God, is good. He's good. And he has my best interest in mind. It may not be, you know, a bed of roses here in this life, but he has eternal perspective that he wants to take us through whatever is needed to prepare us for that eternal world, for that acceptance there at his throne. Well, thankfulness can also bring calmness and rest of soul. And it brings our level of expectation into line with the realities of life. All of us have certain kinds of expectation about life, and especially you as young people here this morning, you know, as you look forward in life and, you know, and you have some kind of idea, I believe, of an expectation of where and what your life, you would like your life to be or to become or whatever. But, you know, thankfulness, you know, helps us to, it brings that calmness and rest to the soul. Because it brings that level of expectation into line with our belief and understanding of the sovereignty of God, as well as the realities of life. And those of us who are older, you know, we had our expectations about how our life was probably going to hopefully play out. And most of us would say, well, it didn't quite happen that way, did it? You know, God had some other plans and God rearranged some things and it just wasn't, it isn't quite today what we probably would have thought, you know, 40 years ago. But is God still good? Absolutely. Has he blessed us? For sure. And we move forward in that kind of faith. Not that we become cynical, but we move forward in faith in understanding that. It is also interesting when you think about our outlook on life. Have you ever felt kind of depressed? Maybe struggling with discouragement in some area of life? You know, and you go outside and, you know, you do things, whatever needs to be done. And, you know, in that fog of, you know, discouragement at times, you know, you can hardly see the brightness of the world around you. Or be able to listen properly. And I don't know if you've ever found it this way, but here, it was some years ago, I remember a time of I was struggling with some situations that were very difficult. And I went outside and I was just thinking all these things and, you know, how are we going to handle it? What are we going to do? And all of a sudden, I heard a robin just singing his heart out, happy as can be. And he had been singing probably all morning already. I had not heard him. And God used that robin that day to help me and encourage me in those struggles. That robin was just as happy and as carefree as can be, and he's singing his praise to God, his creator. Notice verse 33 here of 1 Chronicles 16. Well, verse 31, let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. You know, a thankful heart connects with the beauty of nature that God designed and gave to us. And like I say, you know, where creation is glorifying God and the birds are singing their thanksgiving to God, it is a blessing. It can bring that calmness and rest of soul. A thankful heart has the power to soften and temper the blows of life. We've referred to this to help us to remember that God is good. While we don't always understand, yet we know that it is true and God can help us and bless us. A few thoughts in closing. How do we cultivate more thankfulness in our lives? You know, it is something that comes back to choice. We understand that. It's not something we need to have to generate ourselves, but it's choices of how we're going to relate to situations and how we're going to view things. Well, we need to renew a close relationship with our majestic and great God. You know, going through the busyness of life and all the things that, you know, come upon us and responsibilities and duties, you know, there can be a drain upon our spiritual life at times. You know, we need to have that close relationship with God, you know, and see his majesty and see his greatness and meditate upon all the goodness that he has given to us. That's part of praise. And that should be a daily part of our lives. Cultivate thankfulness as a thought pattern. Cultivate thankfulness as a thought pattern. You know, and a thankful heart will make a pleasant countenance. A pleasant person is normally a thankful person. And so cultivate thankfulness as a thought pattern. You know, if we just say, oh, yes, I deserve that, or I was owed that. Wait a minute. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? And why would you boast? Why would you brag? Why would you act like this was owed to me? Every blessing we received is a blessing from the hand of God in one way or the other. Even if it's a paycheck. You say, well, I work for this. Who gave you the strength to work? Cultivate as a thought pattern. Crucify negative thoughts of self-pity, jealousy, and criticalness, and all those things. You know, we crucify those at the foot of the cross because we're thankful for the forgiveness that we have received. Make thankfulness a major part of our prayers and worship. I'm glad that many of our songs that we sing have the whole thought of thanksgiving in them and thankfulness to God. Verbalize genuine thanks to others and about others. You know, when is the last time we went to a brother or a sister in the congregation and said, you know, I thank the Lord for you. And it's maybe easy to do for someone that, you know, we find more kinship with. But what about the person that we struggle with sometimes? It just rubs us a little bit. You know, can we cultivate that? Closing. There will always be many reasons to be thankful. We will never run out of reasons to be thankful. I probably said this before across the pulpit here. You probably have heard it before, but I think of it now when, as a child, as children in my growing up years, we would complain about something and didn't like this or didn't like that. Almost inevitably, sooner or later, my father or my mother would say, it's time you go sit down and start counting your blessings. Or it's time you sing that song to me, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know that song. Isn't that true for adults as well? When we get a little out of sorts with life and we just don't feel things are going as smooth as we think they ought to and our expectations aren't being met the way we had hoped, we need to stop and count our blessings. And what God has done, and He's promised, whether this life is short or long for any of us, if we're right with Him, He's promised us a happy eternity. And that's always something to be thankful for. So no matter how difficult this life could possibly be, there's always that to be thankful for, that God has a blessed eternity for those who are right with Him. Why did the martyrs go willingly and thankfully to the stake? Some of them thanked God on their way to be burnt to death at the stake. How could they do that? Why did they do that? They could do that because their eye was on the eternal God, the one who promised them that when they closed their eyes in death in the fire, they would open their eyes in eternity with Christ. And they couldn't wait because they had dealt with that in their minds. They had committed themselves to Him and they could hardly wait to step across. Thankfulness. May God help us continue faithful in our lives. Let's kneel to pray. Father, we thank You for the challenges from Your word this morning. And Father, we confess that at times we're not as thankful as we ought to be. And maybe we don't think about it as often as we should when we think of all that You've done for us, providing salvation, providing us with the opportunity to have our sins forgiven, providing us with the opportunity to enter heaven in the future and be forever with the saints and with our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know the things of life, if we aren't careful, can blur our vision. And if we're not even more careful, can blind our vision for what You have promised and what You have for us. And so, Father, we ask Your forgiveness where we have not been as thankful. Maybe we've murmured, and maybe we've complained, and maybe we've just not allowed Your greatness, Your glory, and Your majesty to keep our hearts soft and humble. And so, Father, we ask Your forgiveness and Your help. We want to be a thankful people. We want to reach out and see all the goodness. And, Father, we just pray that we might not be so involved and so overcome with all the cares of life and the situations of life that we lose our vision of You and of Your goodness to us. Bless each of us today in our lives. You know the situation of every heart. You know whether we're right with You or whether we're not. Whether we're ready for eternity or whether we're not. And so, Father, we just pray, continue Your work in each of our lives to prepare us for the reality of eternity. Bless us and keep us. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen.